Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Called Out of Egypt. The wise men were led supernaturally by Christ's star to the house where Jesus and his family were staying, and they worshiped him. Then God warned the wise men in a dream not to return to Herod and tell him the whereabouts of the newborn king. So they departed to their own homeland another way. Matthew then builds on the theme of the fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew 2:13 reads, Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. It seems that God's revelation to the wise men by way of a dream and his revelation to Joseph happened in very close proximity, time-wise. The wise men were told not to return to Herod, and Joseph was told to flee with the family to Egypt because Herod was going to try and destroy the Christ child. Egypt at the time was also under Roman rule, but it was outside the jurisdiction of Herod. There was a large settlement, about 1 million Jews living there, so Joseph and his family would have blended right in. Egypt was about 40 miles south of Bethlehem. It is estimated that they could have traveled about 20 miles per day. So that means it would have taken them about 2 days to get there. Note that God knew everything that was going on in Herod's heart. Herod had secretly met with the wise men, not wanting anyone to know his secret plotting, but God knew. He always knows. No one could hide their innermost thoughts from God, and God, knowing his intentions, let Joseph in on it so he could flee to safety. People try and play games with God, and they always lose. Herod sought information from the religious leaders on where the Christ child would be born, and evidently believed it because he acted upon it. And yet, even though he in effect believed in the supernatural revelation of prophecy, at the same time he thought he could foil the plan of God. That is a height of folly. There are a lot of Herods in this brutal and mean old world, but never forget that God sovereignly controls all things, and in the end, God is always shown to be God. In theology, we often say that while God sovereignly controls all things, under that umbrella, he prevents some things, he promotes some things, and he permits some things. Here in verse 13, God actively promotes Joseph and his family to go to Egypt. But in doing so, he was also preventing the child from being destroyed. Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. There's a sense of urgency here. Joseph was immediately obedient. The word departed means to withdraw because of danger. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. They remained in Egypt until the death of Herod. History records that Herod died in 4 BC. This means that Christ was probably actually born in about 6 or 5 BC, which means that our calendars are off by about 5 or 6 years. Now that calls for all kinds of explanation, but I will leave it there. Our dating of Christ's birth is tied to the fact it happened prior to the death of Herod, probably by a year or two. Now, why did God work this way? I mean, putting Joseph and Mary with the small Christ child through all of this. Couldn't God have just protected them in place without having them having to flee for the sake of the child? Well, of course God could have done that. But he often chooses to work through ordinary means, and he has purposes in doing so. Here the stated purpose is, quote, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. The quote here is from Hosea 11:1, which reads, When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. In Matthew 2:5 and 6, we have what is called a direct fulfillment of prophecy, the direct fulfillment of Micah 5:2, with the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. But here in Matthew 2:15, we have what is called a typological fulfillment. In other words, there is a type or symbol of prophetic truth in the Old Testament that is now fulfilled in the person of Christ. When it comes to that which is typological, we must let Scripture interpret Scripture. Otherwise, it's easy for people to get carried away with allegorical thinking that is not really grounded in Scripture. The Bible is God's story, and He can tell it however He wants to do so. He tells us the story's central character is the Messiah, Jesus. For example, Luke 24:27, after the resurrection, Jesus, meeting with His disciples, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, said, it says there, Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, at Moses, the beginning of the book, and all the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. C.I. Schofield says, here the Lord Jesus gave them the great key to the understanding of Scripture, that He Himself is its subject, and that in Him the entire book finds its unity. End of quote. Matthew 19:10, and I fell at His feet to worship Him. This is John falling at the feet of an angel to worship Him. But He said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy always has Jesus as its theme. It all points to Jesus in one form or another. Jesus is the center and theme of all prophecy. Jesus is the grand subject of the entire Bible story, which climaxes in the book of Revelation, which begins with the words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is both from Him and ultimately about Him. It's all about Him. Well, with this in mind, God is telling us in Matthew 2:15 that the history of Israel as God's Son in their exodus from Egypt typifies the experience of His ultimate Son, the Messiah Christ. In Exodus 4:22, Moses was to tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Just as God's son Israel was brought out of Egypt as an infant son, nation, so in like manner, God's son, Messiah, was brought out of Egypt as an infant. Israel as God's son was brought out of Egypt in the Exodus, and as such was a prophetic type of what God would do with His greater son, Jesus the Messiah. In order for this typology to be fulfilled, the Christ child had to come out of Egypt. For this reason, God allowed this to happen this way, the way it did. Sometimes there are big picture themes related to prophecy, and this is one of those cases. The big picture emphasis is that God brings His son, small s, / son, capital S, brings His son out of Egypt. This prophetic emphasis on God bringing His son out of Egypt was fulfilled in part in Israel's exodus from Egypt, but also in a deeper, more complete sense in the bringing of His Messiah son out of Egypt in infancy. It's likely that Christ's stay in Egypt as a child was quite short, possibly only for a few weeks or months. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.